Well, we've mentioned that the Donegal Sports Star Awards taking place this Friday coming. The Mount Errigal Hotel in Letterkenny is the venue. And the special guest, the new special guest, is Dr. Maeve Esther Enid Kyle OBE. Maeve, good afternoon.
That sounds ridiculous, you know. Just Maeve.
But it's all true.
Oh, I know, but you don't believe those things.
Well, it's up to you to decide whether.
I was very honoured to get a doctorate, but I'm not really quite sure why I deserved it. You know, I don't know what I did for it. But anyway, there you go. So what are you going to talk to me about or ask me about?
Well, do you know this? I have a list here as long as my arm, and it's a question of where to start because. I'll start. Well, not maybe at the very beginning, but the fact that you're the first female to compete for Ireland at the Olympics, and that was 1956. Maybe you just tell me how that came about, because before that you had another life as a hockey international playing 58 times for Ireland.
To start with, I came up here, I was up here playing international hockey, and there was a party afterwards, and in those long days ago, you had to bring a partner to the party, and I didn't have a partner because I didn't live up here. So the girls said, oh, don't worry, we'll provide you with a man. So they brought this fellow along, my blind date. I'd never been on a blind date before, and I thought he looked all right, and there you go. We were married for 62 years. About that?
That man was Sean Kyle.
He was.
Unfortunately, the late Sean Kyle, who died last year.
He passed away, but he's had a fabulous life and no regrets. He did all the things he wanted to do, and he loved life, and he built the house he wanted, and I have a lovely garden. So, you know, I have no regrets. We just had a fantastic life together and travelling and saw the world and all the rest of it.
You sure did do all of that. But I suppose it was because of meeting him, marrying him, and the fact that he was an athletics coach, he started to coach you for the sprints, and I suppose that's how you became an Olympian originally.
Well, that's right. When I met him, I was living in Dublin, working, teaching in Dublin. He was living in Ballymena, working in Ballymena and in the family business. And we didn't see each other. We had a courtship over the phone, as my father said. Excellent. He said, it's perfectly safe that way.
Sure is.
That was in the 1950s, mind you, but there you go. But anyway, he discovered that I could run quite fast. I was playing on the wing in hockey, and he suggested I go into some athletic competitions. So I went, first of all, in the RUC sports, which were absolutely huge sports in those days, and they were held at Ravenhill, and the place was packed out solid. It really was an amazing day, and I ran, and I won some race that's just girls running. There were two or three girls here who were running. They ran for companies like Shorten Harlands and people like that. They were like business companies. But it hadn't, Thelma Hopkins was here, of course, and she really was the pioneer for women's sport here. She played international hockey and also did athletics for Great Britain. And of course, she was a marvellous all-round athlete, held the British record in the high jump for time, I think a world record. So there was that element which also had an influence on my life. So anyway, I did some athletics and found I could run quite fast. So that's where it took off. Then we got married. Then I got pregnant. Then I had a baby, and I still was, well, I was back running then once that had all got sorted out.
Yeah. And so, you were selected then for the Olympics.
I was in 1956. I was my daughter Shauna was just nearly two and really wasn't very much approved of by my in-laws that I was going away and leaving this baby girl, but my husband was mad keen for me to go, because to go to the Olympics was something very special. I didn't know anything about the Olympics, I have to be honest, but if he wanted me to do it, I wanted to do it to please him, and of course it was a long way away. It was in Melbourne. And we took a long, long time to get there. We had to pick up Ronnie in America. Then we had a week's rest in San Francisco, and so it went on. But it was a great Games. And very interestingly, we lost our team manager. He took ill when we were in Australia and ended up in hospital. So we were the most successful ever Irish Olympic team, and we had no management until the late Lord Killannon. He came in and looked after us and saw that everything was all right. So there you go.
Yeah,
is there a lesson there?
Well, I'm not sure. You changed from the athlete side to the management side, so we'll make no comment.
No, I didn't really. No, we all looked after each other.
Oh, I know, but I meant afterwards.
Oh, afterwards, yes. Later on.
But it was quite important that you stopped in San Francisco to pick up Ronnie Delaney, because he was the man who brought home the gold medal.
That's exactly right, yep. Mm-hmm. And Ronnie, of course, Ronnie's been my friend ever since and has been very, very good to me. And any time I had a problem, like he was up with me when Sean passed, when Sean was ill and when Sean passed, Ronnie was one of the first people came to see me. And he's a very thoughtful and a very caring person that way. Yes. And I thought it was very kind of him to make that effort, you know, so...
It certainly was, and you brought home 5 medals from those
games.
That's right. I suppose
boxing. The boxers did us proud. Yeah.
As usual, doing the business.
Yeah. Well, Fred Teach should have had a gold, there was no question of it. And who was the other? There was silver. The boxers were great. Pardon?
Byrne.
That's right, uh-huh. Yes. And there were 5 or 6 boxers, and they were all good. And there was one, Pa Sharkey, we picked him up out in Australia. He didn't win the medal, but it was more unusual for that boxing team not to win a medal than to win one.
That's right. And, of course, he's a Donegal man.
He is a Donegal man, that's right. Okay. Yeah.
You were obviously quite good at hockey as well, because you were on the World All-Star Hockey Team of 53 and 59.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Well, I grew up in a boys' school. My dad was headmaster, and I had 3 brothers. I didn't know what girls were like until my sister, who's 9 years younger than me, arrived on the scene, and I really had very few girl friends because it was a small town, Kilkenny, in those days, and we lived in the school, and everything that happened in and about the boarding school that my dad was head of. So I grew up thinking probably that I did the same as the boys, and I always did the same as the boys, so I learned to play all the sports early on. It's fairly straightforward.
Yeah, you mentioned it on one occasion there about your in-laws not particularly happy with you going to the Olympics in 56. There was a letter into the Irish Times wasn't too happy with you either. You were a disgrace to motherhood and the Irish nation.
That's quite right.
Leaving your husband and daughter to go away and run.
Yeah, and then my husband was sending me away. He was the one who was mad keen because he thought I could do quite well. And apart from that, he realised the value of somebody having to start 4 women, you know. And he said, yeah, told me that I'd have to be brave when I came back. And I said, why? And he said, well, he said, a lot of people probably won't approve of you going out, a young married woman with a small daughter. And I said, but we've made all the arrangements. You'll be all right and she'll be all right. And, you know, I knew that there was, between my own family and Sean's family, that the wee one wouldn't be neglected in any way, you know. So I just did what my husband wanted me to do, which was fairly common in those days, I suppose.
Yeah, and, well, I'm sure it didn't change greatly from there on with Sean.
No,
it
was a team.
Yes.
Sean and I were very much a team. He did the planning and the thinking, and I tried to provide the action.
Well, that was a good combination.
It was, and
it worked well. And I suppose perhaps one of the reasons that you got your OBE was the fact that yourself and Sean did so much work for Ballymena and Antrim AC.
Well, we used athletics to, during the worst times in Northern Ireland, when we organised tours for the club, and we both had quite a lot of contacts abroad, and we went to Canada on 3 different occasions with the club and raised all the money for it, the kids and ourselves. And it was the worst of times. And I mean, in our club there was a rule that you never asked anybody where they say their prayers. As we told them, we only mind if you don't say your prayers. You can say them where you like, when you like, with whom you like, but you have to say them.
Mm-hmm.
And we took 50 kids out to Canada and raised all the money for them, and we had the most marvellous time, and those kids are still friends.
Yeah, isn't that vitally important?
Absolutely.
As well as, you know, a bit of athletics, that's fine, but it's about what happens maybe
afterwards. Absolutely, and it's also the fact of an opportunity for youngsters to get to know each other away from family pressures and away from school pressures and other things, that they learn to live together and they learn to help each other and support each other. And I think that was absolutely vital for youngsters, particularly in the 60s and 70s, which were the worst times in Northern Ireland, you know.
Yeah. Well, you went to two further Olympics after Melbourne, Rome in 60 and Tokyo in 64, and you moved up to the 400 and 800 metres successfully.
Tokyo is my favourite because they put my event in. I was a 400 metre runner, but there was no such thing. They didn't. They thought women would probably fall over and die if they ran more than 200 metres. Mm-hmm. They allowed them to run 800, and they never could quite work out the logic. But 400 was only introduced in Tokyo in 64, and I had no intention. I was becoming an old lady at that stage. But Sean was mad keen for me to go, so I trained for it, and I went, and I did. I actually did very well because I made semi-finals in both 4 and 8, which was, you know, was quite hard work. They were one day after the other in those days. They didn't even give you a day's rest in between.
Yeah, either of them was difficult, never mind doing the two consecutively.
Yeah, but you just got out and got on with it, you know, and Sean had me very well prepared for it. My training sessions were very hard. Competition was fun because you had rest and you had, you know, you felt great. So it was the training was the tough bit, but we got through and I survived it. And obviously, he did the best he could with me. Probably I got the best results I could have got, you know. And if I'd been 10 years younger, it might have made a difference.
Yeah, but you got better with age because in 66 then you won a European indoor
bronze
right. In the 400 metres.
That's right. So it was lucky though. It was good there because I have very good sharp elbows and we didn't run the 400 in lanes indoor in those days. And Sean said to me, "You just have to get out to the front." And it was quite a small track. It was less than 200 metres. And he said, "You have to get out to the front." It was 2.5 laps. It was some most peculiar distance. And you really couldn't get an idea of how you were at halfway stage or anything, you know. So he said, "Just go out and stick the elbows up." He said, "Don't let anyone by." And I was only beaten on the line. There were three of us had times very close together. But there you go. But it was great. I mean, having a European medal was absolutely magic, you know.
It sure was, because they're fairly hard to come by.
They're scarce.
They're scarce in Ireland, is right.
Yeah.
So you had a fantastic life as an athlete and as an ambassador, I suppose, on behalf of athletics.
Well, I love people. I've always loved people, and of course, as everybody knows, I'm a chatterbox. I'll chatter for Ireland. I should have had a gold medal for that, probably. But I love talking to people. I love finding out how they live. When I was at university, I took a specialist degree in why communities and people lived where they lived, and which I found extraordinarily interesting. And especially coming up here into a totally different society where people were, in the early days before we were married, were dependent on industries like what would have been come out of home industries like spinning, like weaving, and that was very much what this part of the island was famous for. And you know, sport was something you did after work, so it wasn't hard to fit sport in if you took it in that line. It was harder once sport became professional because you then had to give up so much of your ordinary everyday life to training. When I was training, it was easier to fit training in because everybody was working, you know, or most people were working, and you had to fit it in after work or whenever you could.
So what do you think now of the athletes at this point in time, not just particularly athletics, but other sports, because they have gone very professional, and it's money has a big factor in that as well?
Yeah, I think sport's divided into two sections, and I think you still can, thankfully, within the club system, you can still, as either an individual person or as a team person, you can still play sport and enjoy sport at whatever level you're capable of playing at it. And I think the people who play on the third and the fourth and the fifth teams, whatever they are in the club, they get just as much fun out of it, maybe more fun than the people who are trying to get to the very top. The people who are at the very top in sport nowadays, they have short lives. Now, I often wonder, is it because they're physically not ready to go on any longer, or is it because they've had enough? And I suspect sometimes they've had enough of the pressure and the what you can do and what you can't do and what you must do, because professional sport now is very, very tough. There's no question about it. But then there's money involved, and you earn your money the hard way.
Yeah, I suppose there's, you know, you have a time span, and it's because new people coming through that are just that wee bit better.
Absolutely, absolutely. And they've had, well, young people, they're probably better fed than we were to start with, and houses are warmer, people don't have as many infections and things as maybe we had. But having said all that, sport is a very natural thing, because I lived in a boys' school, my dad was a headmaster, and I had three brothers. We used the sports facilities in the school, and that was our playground. So you learnt sport was something you did after school, after work, after whatever it was. It was fun, and I just loved sport, as most people in my generation did. If you didn't like sport, you didn't play it. There was no pressure on you. But if you liked sport, there was plenty of room to really enjoy it.
So you're coming up to Donegal on Friday.
No better place.
The guest of honour. It's the 40th anniversary. You have been up before, but you'll see a massive change, one would suspect, because the tickets have gone less than a week.
Yeah,
and there's
fantastic,
going to be
yeah.
40 awards or thereabouts, yeah. So you're really going to enjoy it.
Oh, absolutely. I think I'm really looking. I love Donegal. I've got Donegal blood in me.
Yes,
know.
I was going to bring that up.
I don't know quite where it came from, but I have Donegal blood on my father's side. And I don't know, it's back a few generations, but there's Donegal blood definitely there, and Dad always said that. But at the same time, I've always found Donegal is a fantastic place to go. People are very appreciative of what you've done. I don't know, you don't seem to have people who are ever jealous there. Now, that sounds mad, but people are very pleased if you've done well and very pleased if you've got something. And I always found Donegal was a very, very generous county for that, or generous part of the world in that way. I don't know whether I was just lucky. I don't think so. I think Donegal people are generous and are very proud of people from any part of the island who do well. But that's my personal experience anyway, and I'm going to stick by that.
Well, that's good to hear. Yeah, I think that is true. We're a very open
very
type
open
people and enjoy success, I suppose, and we could nearly consider you as one of ours, because
well, absolutely, I'd be delighted.
Yeah, well, your grandfather was born in Donegal, and your mother your grandmother as well,
that's right.
Have a connection here.
It's very hard to trace them back, because a lot of those were the records that were destroyed. Now, I gather a lot of them have become available in the last couple of years, and I've always meant to do something about it, but it just hasn't been that easy. But I'm sure there's a strong Donegal connection. Dad was always very, very, he always talked to them, oh, I'm a Donegal man, really, you know, but he never lived there. Mm-hmm. But there obviously was a strong Donegal connection in the family.
And that was a very interesting statement there, made that your granny Park said her prayers in Donegal Irish.
Donegal Irish to the day she died.
Isn't that amazing?
And she lived till she was in her 90s, never had been to never had false teeth, never had had her hair cut, which I always thought was fantastic.
Never had her hair cut?
No, just had it trimmed at the ends, and she had this fantastic length of hair, beautiful, beautiful hair. So there you go.
That is amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
See all these honours that you have won. I presume you took pride in them, and the people that will come in up to the stage on Friday, it's a big night for them, because they're going to be recognised by their peers.
Of course.
In front of other sports as well.
Absolutely. And I think that is terribly important, that, you know, we support each other in different sports. Everybody who does well in sport has striven hard to get there, you know, no matter what it is. Might be an indoor sport like snooker or something, but they've worked just as hard in their own way for their own success. It might be a marathon runner who's worked just as hard, but out of doors in every kind of weather, whatever, you know. Everybody who has been successful and gets up into the top areas of sport has worked very hard. I'm not sure I'd wanted to have been a professional sports person in this day and age, because you don't belong to yourself. You belong to the people who run your sport. And I would have been very bad at that.
You might have...
I'd have been a bit feisty.
rose up against it in some shape or form.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, there's no harm in that either, I suppose.
No.
If you don't have,
if you thought you were right.
If you don't have that streak in you, you're not going to succeed in sport
either.
That's
right. That's quite true.
Another way of looking at it. You mentioned your garden. You take pride in your garden.
I do. I love my garden, and I spend a lot of time in it. Sorry, that's the dog bark. Sit down there, Shauna, for two ticks. That's the dog barking. I'm just doing an interview here. And I spend a lot of time in my garden, and I love my garden. I find it, if I have a problem of any kind, go out and do a bit of gardening, you soon forget it.
Well, I suppose as an athlete, that's another good way of clearing the head by going out and doing a little bit of exercise.
Absolutely.
It sure is.
It is indeed.
Well, we better just keep the record straight. The other two boxers that won medals were, of course, from Northern Ireland, from the Belfast area.
That's
John Caldwell and Freddie Gilroy.
That's right. Two great characters.
They sure were.
Great characters. Freddie was a lovely man. He was much shyer. Johnny was a tough wee Belfast man, would have told you what he thought, and that's just the way he was. Great wee fighter, but Freddie was he was a beautiful fighter, and I mean, he had every stroke in the book, you know. I can't remember who his coach was, but he'd been very well coached. I'm not saying Johnny wasn't. Johnny was. Johnny was a fighter. He really was, and wouldn't be.
Remind you of Paddy Barnes?
Absolutely.
To some degree, yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, Maeve, a pleasure talking to you. You have visitors there, so we'll allow you back to the family.
Thank you very much indeed.
And thank you for your time this
afternoon. Not at all, and I'm really looking forward to coming up to Donegal. It's always been one of my favourite places.
Yeah, well, you were up at a Cranford Athletic Club presentation night there a number of years ago.
That's right.
You went down a bomb, as they say, so I'm sure it'll be a similar situation on Friday.
Well, thank you. It's like coming home.
Well,
that's what I say, you see.
Isn't that great to hear? Maeve,
thank you very much
on that
indeed.
Note, we'll leave it. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you a million.
We'll see you Friday. Bye-bye.